Progressive Talk for the Monterey Bay Area. This is KRXA 540, Carmel Valley, Monterey, Salinas, and Santa Cruz. Think for yourself.
We have a class happening at Whole Foods a week from Thursday. It's we're going to be doing. And lastly, I wanted to talk about the Angelina Jolie situation with her double mastectomy, and what a case for universal health care coverage this is.
All right, Delaney Art, thank you so much for the Morning Show theme song. And just speaking to my guest in this segment, Michael Dean, he was complaining about some of the audio issues. I made a couple of changes there. Michael, I hope it improves the quality for you. We've had a lot of tech problems, unfortunately, this morning. Your website, freedomfiends.com, freedomfiends.com, and you wanted to kind of define yourself before I did it, so go ahead, please.
Yeah, I used to live in San Francisco Bay Area, loved it, lived there 16 years. Moved to Wyoming 4 years ago because I like guns and lower taxes. If you want to define me on a left-right axis rather than a realistic axis, for anti-war, legal drugs, gay marriage, open borders, and internet freedom, I'm somewhere to the left of Nancy Pelosi. And for social welfare, I'm somewhere to the right of Genghis Khan.
All right, so let's talk about I guess the sort of the overarchingness of your libertarianism. You would you don't want any rules at all, is that correct? I mean, are you an anarchist then?
I guess anarcho-capitalist, but I prefer the term voluntarist. And it's saying I don't want any rules is inaccurate. What I don't want is a monopoly system of violence, as Obama has defined it and George Bush defined it. That's what they call government. A monopoly of violence in a geographic region where they can come in and take whatever they want. Like, for instance, if your neighbor said, I wrote down on a piece of paper that you have to pay me 50% of your income, would that be ethical? No. But it's ethical when people who are too stupid to rule vote in people to rule for them. I don't know how that works, but I guess that's what democracy is.
All right, so do you make any distinctions between a government that is indeed elected, that the people have a choice over whether they want it or not, they choose their representatives? Do you make any distinction, Michael Dean, and a tyrant, a king, a dictator? Is there any difference?
Actually, a lot of times kings were more ethical because they wanted to pass their kingdom on to their children, whereas elected officials come in for 4 years and promise away the future, steal from the future to stay in for 4 years and then leave. They don't have any accountability going beyond that. I'm not saying I like tyranny. I don't want a tyrant. I don't want a king. It's just different forms of guns being pointed to your head. And when I say guns pointed to your head, I mean, to me, I listened to your show for an hour today. To me, you sound a lot like Mitt Romney or George Bush. It's really almost indistinguishable to me. It's basically saying what people need to do, and both the left and the right statists do that. They say what people need to do, that comes out of the mouth at the beginning of almost, in some form, almost every statement made by a leftist or a rightist.
So and you don't believe, so if I say, well, let me just interrupt you for a sec. So if I say what we need to do is make sure that sick children have health care, you're saying we don't need to do that. If I say we need to make sure that people who have worked hard in our country their entire lives, maybe have served our nation in the military, we need to make sure that they retire with and die with dignity, you're saying that's not an obligation that we collectively have. Is that correct?
Well, first of all, you're talking to someone whose only child died of cancer and suffered with the American healthcare system. And secondly, my stepson is in the Army. I would not be against an incremental downsweeping of it to where you go, okay, well, there were some contracts made. They have to be honored. You know, vets have to whatever. I really think that a lot of contracts that are made by governments, though, are really immoral. I mean, some more than others. Like, basically, when you have people who in the free market would be paid a good wage, like, you know, teachers, trash collectors, security, I won't say police, but security, when you have those people, like, making, you know, 4/5 of their wage until they're 100, even if they were fired for, like, sexually abusing somebody or shooting somebody and killing them when they weren't armed. I think that's unethical, and that happens all the time. But I don't want to argue
But how can we not talk about the specific implications of your ideology if it were implemented? I mean, it's easy to just simply say we should all be totally free, but then let's talk about what that means when you say we should all be free.
I can have an answer for individual talking points, definitely. However, and this may sound like a cop-out to you, but I am not the libertarian paradise central planner. I'm not the libpair central planner. And there are people I can put you in touch with who do that all day and do it with a college professor level of precision, but I'm not the guy who's going to build the roads, you know?
All right, well,
let me
set the table. We're talking, by the way, to Michael Dean. He is a talk show host. His show is Freedom Fiends, freedomfiends.com, Freedom Fiends. Now, presumably, you are a libertarian the way you describe it, practically an anarchist or a capitalist anarchist, because you believe that such a system, if it were implemented, would result in the greatest good for the greatest numbers. Is that fair to say?
Yes.
Is there a way to...
I don't like the word anarcho-capitalism.
Okay.
Anarcho-capitalism, I mean, I guess I am that, but to a lot of people that sounds like the two worst things combined, and what is called capitalism in America, the big business in America, is not capitalism. It's corporatism that wouldn't exist without government intervention.
Could you be persuaded that you're wrong? I mean, is there any evidence, any data, any information that if you reviewed it could convince you, no, we really do need to join together and have elections and give the government the power to tax, give the government the power to defend us with the military, give the government, which is ultimately us, the power to restrict people's rights, for example, to own weaponry? Is there anything that could convince you of that? Why is that?
No.
Why are you so absolutely, why are you so completely confident, certain that your way is the right way and every other way is wrong?
Because all government is based on aggression. It's based on people sitting down, 51% of the people deciding what's right for 49% of the people, and pointing guns at their head. I mean, when I say pointing guns at their head, and this is really important, the definition here of what a law is. When people say, oh, what everyone needs to do, you know, that usually results with sometimes education, sometimes outreach.
Well, you say what everyone needs to do is get rid of government. You say what everyone needs to do is keep anyone from taking anybody's wealth, even if there's a question of whether that wealth was ill-gotten. How would you resolve disputes? How would you resolve disputes?
I can answer that. But one thing is, too, there isn't always an answer because no one's been allowed to try. I mean, we're basically talking science fiction, but that's what you guys do 24/7 on your station.
Wow, you're really angry. Well, what's the science fiction? See, I just said that's absurd, and let me show you why. Because there are lots of countries that we can look at that do certain things better than we do, and there are other countries that don't do them as well, and there are things that we do in this country extremely well. We can also look at history and say, hey, when we implemented these solutions, they were useful. They made things better. When we implemented the 40-hour work week, it improved the quality of life for Americans throughout this country. When we had the federal government stick a gun to the head of slave owners and said, you don't get to own other people, that made our country a better place. When we went to factory owners, Michael, and we said, we stuck a gun to the head of the factory owner or the mine owner and said, you can't stop your employees from organizing, that made our country better. And if you want to argue that, then we can look at the metrics. We can look at the amount of income that people were able to keep for themselves after the government did that. We can look at whether people were subject to being raped and having their fingers chopped off if they didn't obey the MASA before and after the federal government went to slave owners and said, you can't do that anymore. Isn't that right, Michael? Isn't that right?
You sound really angry.
I am angry. I am angry at people who support the overdog. I am angry at the people who support the man with wealth and power and guns against the man with none of those things. You're right. I am angry.
Well, what I would have done was, with slavery, is instead of saying the government needs to point guns at everyone's head, I would have armed the slaves.
How would you do that? You don't believe in government. Who would buy the guns? There's no government to buy them, right?
Private people from Canada and the northern states. There were a lot of guns lying around, but the first gun control laws were to keep freed slaves from being
able to defend
themselves.
All right, we'll be back. We got Michael Dean. He's going to stick with us. We'll be back right after this.
I feel free. I feel free.
Hi, I am Janice Knepp, speaking on behalf of the Peace Coalition of Monterey County and our local Peace Resource Center.
All right, we're talking about freedom, what it means, with Michael Dean. FreedomFiends.com is the website. Freedom, FEENS.com. Now, Michael, your proposal for eliminating slavery is, I guess, individuals go down and arm the slaves, and then they all start killing each other, the owners and the slaves. I obviously have a different take. My question to you is, how can you and I agree beforehand on what metrics we will use to determine who's right and who's wrong? I believe in universal single health coverage. You don't believe in that. Are there any metrics that we can look at, we can agree upon in advance? If they show A, then you're right. If they show B, that I'm right. Then I'm right.
Well, if you want to go back, an example would be slavery, to continue on that, for the metrics is a good example. Basically, you're arguing, like, we need to keep some of the slaves because the cotton will never get picked. And I'm saying that's not the question. You have to eliminate slavery, and the market will take care of the cotton getting picked. And they did, and it did.
Well, wait, I'm not arguing that. We should eliminate slavery. We should eliminate slavery because it's wrong, it's immoral, it's cruel, it's inhumane. Not because there may be an alternative way of picking cotton.
Taxes are slavery. And people who like the government and believe it's a good thing want to keep the soft slavery, and they won't consider ways that the cotton could get picked without the taxation, the guns to the head, and the bureaucrats.
Well, I think you've totally gone off track as far as I can understand. I mean, you're saying that taxes are create slaves, I guess. Is that your theory? Is that right?
Yeah.
So
taxation is soft slavery.
Slavery is where you have to work without getting paid for it, correct? That's when you do work and you have no control over the output of your labor, and you also don't get compensated for it. It also generally means you have little or no freedom of movement. None of that's
taxation. We're headed towards limited or no freedom of movement.
No, when you work in our society, you get paid for it. You can move around. And you have a choice, and you have a choice whether to work or not. If you choose not to work, tragically, the choice, to the extent that we're slaves, it's that's too many of us. If we don't work far many more hours than most people feel comfortable working, we could starve. We could go without health care. Our children could suffer. To me, that's slavery. That's where our employer.
Slave owners provided food and basic medical needs for their slaves because it was economically viable to do so, because a sick slave couldn't work.
That's right, but sick slave usually was left to die. A lame sick slave or a lame slave was often left to die. A slave who was too recalcitrant to work was generally killed. Now, those are not really, or if they weren't broken, they would often be killed. I don't know how any of that is relevant to what you're talking about.
It's very relevant. You're arguing metrics of percentage of slavery, and I'm saying slavery is slavery.
Well,
not very much slaves, and I'm saying we're slaves, though.
How is Mitt Romney, who paid like 14% maybe of income that was often in the eight figures, How is he a slave exactly? I'm trying to understand that one. Could he own property? Because slaves couldn't own property generally. Could he choose to marry whomever he wanted? He could. Were his children, could they be taken away from him without any due process? No, they can't. So
Mitt
please
Romney
explain
and
now.
George Soros are pretty much interchangeable.
Okay, well,
to me.
If you.
I mean,
okay,
kind of
well, that's a different issue. That's a different question. Whether you want to say that there are any differences politically between the two, we can argue that. I'm asking you, how is Mitt Romney a slave? How is Mitt Romney a slave? You said we're all slaves because of taxes. So how exactly does Mitt Romney, how do his characteristics fit those of a slave?
No, he's a slave owner because he's the government. I mean, he's so
well, he's not in the government. No, he's not the government at all. He owns private property. He's not in the government. He doesn't hold elected office.
Yeah, but he only has the money that he has, the amounts, the buckets, the fields of gold that he has, because he did things that wouldn't be possible without the government.
Well, the slave owners in the South, there were virtually no government whatsoever. The slave owners in the South,
there was the Southern Democrats.
They had the only laws that they supported, the only federal law was a Fugitive Slave Act, and that was after the creation of the United States. Before that, there was virtually
but the local sheriffs made their own law to keep the slaves down after being
well.
Created.
Those were they really
they were vicious,
to
man. They were vicious.
That, to the extent that there was some kind of force enforcement. It was generally voluntary associations of slave owners who contracted with poor whites. And sometimes freed blacks, but much less frequently, paid them money and armed them. That sounds to me like the kind of thing you endorse, where you pay somebody, you give them a gun, and you pay them to do a task for you.
If you don't believe in government, you're racist.
No, didn't say that. I didn't say you were racist. I'm just pointing it out.
Yeah, you're implying that.
No, I'm not. You're wrong.
Nah.
I'm not implying that at all.
See, if someone doesn't want public schools, it doesn't mean they hate education.
All right.
If someone doesn't want
Michael, come on.
They hate
All right. You don't like that particular analogy because you're using a straw man claiming I'm a racist? Okay, what about factory owners who hire strike breakers with clubs and guns to beat up workers who try to organize? Presumably, you don't have a problem with that, right?
I don't have a problem with unions, per se, and I think in the beginning, unions were a good thing, but like any power organization, it becomes the mafia with time.
Well, all right, so...
I think the unions were a self-defense industry, you know, a self-defense private organization, and I'm totally into self-defense private organizations, but with time, the guy with the tie at the front of the room said, okay, I can get a little more on this side, a little more on that side, and then I can be the king.
Well, that's unions were only able to get any kind of real strength and have impact on the quality of lives of workers across our country when they were able to make a political difference, when they were able to have laws passed.
And the government was helping machine gun those striking workers back in the day.
That happened as well. That's correct. You did have that situation as well.
You can't say, let's clean up government, because it's rotten to the core. But in some cases, it's more rotten than other cases. And a lot of that case, you're like, well, what would you do about this? You need government to protect against the government who is machine gunning striking coal workers. No. That's like saying, we need the rats to guard the cheese, man.
Michael Dean with us from Freedom Fiends, freedomfiends.com. And he is a talk show host as well, just as I am. I think that we should certainly try to make government as representative as we can. We should try to reduce corruption as much as we possibly can. In any institution, Michael, we will find corruption. That's just the nature of human beings. When we look at countries that have less corruption, one of the things that always strikes me is that there's less wealth disparities. There generally is very little poverty, and there's generally very few super-rich or ultra-rich people.
I like talking theory, like we're talking about what we would do in our paradise, but I've also voted with my feet and my wallet. I left California after 16 years and moved to Wyoming, where there's lower unemployment, less laws, less intrusion. It's not a libertarian paradise by far. I mean, you can carry a concealed gun without a permit. I like that here. Crime did not go up when they legalized that, but they'll also throw you in prison for a year for a joint. I think that's immoral. But I don't smoke pot, So I chose to move here. The air is cleaner here. You know, the commute is...
I feel free.